Oh man, we're gonna do it so hard. Let's do it. Yeah, not talking to me. Cool, Nate.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Tilted Pod. I'm your host, Seth, don't call me Jack Wilds, and I'm sitting here with my buddy, my pal, my home bro, my home skillet, my home fry, my French fry, Nate, the Daywalker, Morris. How are you, buddy?
I'm feeling homey.
You are very homey.
Oh yeah.
You're homely as well.
Homely.
No, I don't think homely is a good thing. You don't want to be excited about that.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Nate, very excited about being homely, Morris.
Boom,
man,
y'all.
It's been a week, and I am so excited to be here talking magic with you because I've been shoved up the ass of destiny for a while. But my boy here has been doing a lot of cool things, like learning to teach people to play because he was really bad at that before. So tell us about what you've been up to this week. What you've been into?
So I went to the Magic Open House. Tried to teach new players how to play Magic. As it turns out, that wasn't very popular in our area. So it was mainly just Justin and I hanging out playing Magic against each other.
No one knows Justin but Justin.
Shout out to you, Justin.
What up, Justin Fout? He's a guy who runs kind of a local shop. So you'll hear Justin's name every once in a while on the podcast. But continue.
Other than that, I've been playing various Gideon decks, trying to test that out. Trying to keep up with the Jeskai Control evolution.
Wait, you went past this. Hold on, dude. I want to know about the new Player Saturday thing. Because this is like a cool new thing. Like, what exactly do you do? Like, you had to memorize a script and everything?
Hmm?
Then you have to memorize like a script of like what to say to teach people to play Magic and everything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess kind of. That was him. He did all that.
Yeah.
And he had to write it down and read it. And then you set up different like play mats of... you know, decks versus decks, and then we sat down and he went through his, you know, educational flow with me and trying to teach me how to play Magic. And then he didn't tell me that I couldn't look at his hand, so when he walked up and, you know, walked away, I looked at his hand.
Oh, so you cheated during an informational...
I mean, technically, he didn't tell me I couldn't do it, so...
Okay, so you didn't know...
I didn't have the information at hand.
Since you had never played a card game before.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then he scooped. I won.
But I have a question. So, like, but I thought you were going to help teach people.
Oh, no.
You went to learn.
I went for the promos, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were like going to help other people. Now it makes more sense.
I would have helped other people. Yeah, I would have helped other people if they would have showed up. Like, I would have helped, assisted Justin in playing some of new people.
I see. So, the way I understood it via text message, this is why text messaging sometimes sucks. The way I understood it was that you went to help teach people to play Magic and you had to learn the whole script on how to teach people set up scenarios and et cetera. And I was like, that is awesome that you did that, even though no one showed up and you like taught your girlfriend how to play, et cetera. But
false.
Yeah. So that didn't happen at all. You actually just went and pretended you didn't know how. So you get the captain pirate walk the plank ships.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, technically I took Caitlin too. So. She wasn't
like that.
You
got a playset then, right?
I do have a playset of them now.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool art. Cool art too.
Very cool art.
All right, we're gonna move on then, since you're not the stand-up guy. I thought you were.
I almost was.
You just like promos.
I almost was.
All right, so you've been working on the Gideon deck. How's that been going?
It's coming along pretty well. I got. I've narrowed it down to two, blue white and black white.
We're already on black white.
I know, but I just
changed your mind.
Yes, I changed my mind. Sometimes you get overrun by control, and I think not having blue leaves you more vulnerable to things, whereas going blue-white, you get access to a little bit of deck manipulation, card draw, and counter spells. And so it's one of these give-and-take things where you just got to feel out the format and see what I want, like what
no
I actually want to do.
No hand disruption.
That is also true, but it's one of those things
losing
like...
a lot of removal.
Do you want to try and rip it from their hand, or do you want to try and counter it? Like... you get spreading seas or you get other cards. Like, it's just, it's been a little bit of trial and error. I will say that my win percentage with black white is much higher than it is with blue white.
And I think the answer is clear
currently. Yeah, it is
pretty
clear.
I have always wanted to emblem Little Gideon, Little Giddy, as we like to call him here on the Tilted podcast, Lil Giddy. I like to emblem Lil Giddy, and then I want to pact something. I don't care what it is. I just want to pact of negation after a Lil Gideon's emblem is out, and they don't kill him.
Yeah, well, that's...
Be sick, dude.
Also
be
true. Fun. Zero, I'd be worried that they did kill him.
And I don't care. I'm willing to take that risk. I like to live on the edge, like Austin Powers, man.
Yeah, YOLO.
Gotta live. Yeah, YOLO. That's what they said.
That's what the kids say.
That's what the kids say sometimes. I think back in the day, like back when we were kids. So, cool. Right. I hope everybody had a really good weekend because we did. I hope everybody had a good time playing Magic on Friday night. I hope everyone won some...
Fatal Push some promos?
Fatal Push promos. But we are going to move on to news. We've got a rule change.
Rules change.
I like rules changes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You know what this one's about?
It's about a card that you love.
I love it.
I kind of like it too.
It's Blood Moon.
It's a Blood Moon.
And Magus of the Moon.
Magus of the Moon. Sometimes I say Magus, and you want to know why?
Why?
Because I heard Brad Nelson. Okay, no offense to Brad Nelson. I'm not even a very big fan of his, but he says Magus. And it bothers me so bad. And all of a sudden, I started doing it because I was so upset with the way he said it. Because I always said Magus of the Moon. Then he was like, I heard him say Magus a couple times. And I was like, ugh. And then he says like Brain Maggot.
Yeah, Brain Maggot.
Yeah. And I'm like, where are you from, dude? And so anyways, I started saying it that way now. And I can't break myself of it. Now I say Magus of the Moon. So anyways, shout out to Brad Nelson. He's a friend of the cast. He's not. But he could be if he wanted to.
He could be if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Follow us.
We're going to get him on here one day. And we're going to talk about Magus and Maggots. So explain this rule change, Nate.
So before, if I were to play a Blood Moon.
Correct.
And you were to play... a shock land, you would have to pay 2 life to have it untapped.
Say a
or a temple
shrine,
or yeah, godly shrine. You'd have to pay 2 life for that shock land to come in untapped.
It still wouldn't untap.
Yeah, and it still wouldn't untap, even though it's a mountain.
Right.
Kind of a dumb rule. If you were to play a temple and you put your temple down, you don't get to scry, but it still comes untapped, and it's a mountain.
Right.
That was the old way. Very confusing.
So my bounce lands when I'm playing Amulet Titan, they come in. I don't have to bounce anything because that's an after ability trigger that it won't have, but they still enter the battlefield tapped.
Yep.
So apparently that's changing.
That's changing. With the Iconic Masters release notes, they have a rules change for Magus of the Moon that says if a non-basic land has an ability that applies as this land enters the battlefield or that causes it to enter the battlefield tapped or with counters, the land will lose that ability before it applies. This is a change from previous rules.
So this is kind of cool. I think this is good for people who get tired of playing against Blood Moon too.
Yeah.
It's still a Blood Moon, right?
Yeah, it's still
cutting
Blood Moon.
It's still cutting you off your mana for the most part. But as you mentioned to me earlier, you fiery fox, that this might work really good with Dark Depths.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting counters, buddy.
Yeah, it's coming in, no counters, untapped. And then if you can somehow kill your Blood Moon, you can instantly make the
Blood Moon, and you got a 20/20 ready to smash Merit Lage style.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
It is. It'll be interesting to see if it somehow gets implemented in Legacy. I don't think it has as much effect in Modern.
Well, because a banned card in Modern.
I was talking about Blood Moon.
I think it'll be still important. I think the fact that you get an untapped mana, playing a lot of shock land, like what if you just need that one extra mana instead? It could just not set you back the extra turn, you know?
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I think it's relevant.
Yeah.
I think it definitely is at least a nudge in the right direction of making Blood Moon a more fair card or a fairer card.
Mm-hmm.
More fair. Who cares? But that's cool. I mean, it's a cool rule change. So that's what's happening, you know, in the rules.
It also kind of helps out, like when I was playing Sun Moon, it also helps out Sun Moon too. I mean, now my lands also come in untapped.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's a good point.
There is a little bit of, you know, back and forth with that.
Yeah, I don't think it's like it doesn't make Blood Moon bad. It just gives it, I think my favorite thing right now is the fact that the whole Turbo Depths Blood Moon deck could come out of this.
Like,
I don't know if it will. There's probably just better Merit Lage decks, but you never know. It's kind of fun to cut people off their mana and make 20/20s at the same time.
Right.
So, Moving on. Guys, guess what? It's modern. It's a modern time. It's modern, modern world. Time. We're modern people, and we're going to talk a lot of flipping modern decks. Now, I know that Ixalan is completely spoiled. We know that. But.
None of those cards are good. We're not going to talk about them?
What, I mean, there's some really good ones.
Oh, shoot.
But.
I was way off.
Like Opt. You know, that could be good.
Opt.
Opt is cool. But is it really that? I don't know. It's good. It could be cool. We'll see how that goes. But here's the thing. We are going to actually have a spoiler. No, it's not even going to be a spoiler. We're going to have a set release
episode
that's going to just... We're going to play with the cards and determine. So instead of... You've already seen it on Mythic Spoiler. You've already seen it on MTG Salvation. You've already seen it on MTG Goldfish. You've already seen the cards. You can go and look at all the cards. We're going to talk about them after we've had a chance to play with them at the pre-release and see what we think about the cards there. That way we can speak, you know, with a little bit more consistency and education on the cards themselves.
Yeah.
I will say I'm real excited for that Raging Dinosaur 5-mana 4/4 make a dinosaur haste guy.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, he looks cool. I wish I knew his name, but he sounds awesome. He's going to be fun. So we're not going to talk about the Ixalan full set being out, but go look at it. Make your own opinions, and we're going to make ours, and then we're going to have an episode dedicated to that. But instead, since we don't have a whole lot of news, we are going to go over... We're going to do what we do best. We're going to go over bunch of deck lists.
There's just a bunch to talk about. This has been a very unusual modern weekend, I feel like. For those of you who don't know, the Star City Open was in Louisville this weekend.
We missed it. I had a show.
We did miss it. Day two had 147 players. There was over 46 individual deck lists. Or individual types of decks.
On day two?
On day two.
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot.
It's an open meta.
Eldrazi Tron was at the top. So was Affinity. So was Grixis Death Shadow.
God, I love how Affinity... This is the longest I felt like Affinity has stayed around.
It's, yeah.
Like, normally it pops up, smashes like three tournaments. Three is max.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets crushed again for like the next month.
Ever.
And then it pops up again, crushes a tournament or two. I feel like Affinity has been super good for like 2 months now. I mean, yeah. It's always a good deck, but I feel like it's been top 18 and making top 16s and like putting up super consistent results
for a while.
At least 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Continue.
So... It was just a very diverse weekend of modern play. If you got to watch it, it was very cool. We're going to go over a lot of those deck lists because there's just a lot going on. One of the most popular combo decks was Storm. Had a very good showing this weekend, too. And, of course, we're going to talk about Tom the Boss Ross coming in with 8-rack and making top 4. So, it was just a very good weekend for modern.
I hate that deck, by the way. And a lot of people have been picking it up.
Yeah, I think it's really coming back in popularity.
On Magic Online, it's super popular right now. I play against it regularly.
I mean, it's got to be like $200.
No, there's 4 Lily on of the Veils.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
There's 400 right there.
Yeah. I forgot about old Lily.
Yeah. She's pretty expensive. Plus, you got Thoughtseizes, you got Inquisitions, which have gone down quite a bit, but yeah. Fatal Pushes, I mean, it's still a little pricey.
Mutavaults are still like $2, you know.
Right. It's
all
not,
of the commons and uncommons are a nickel.
Yeah, I think the coolest thing about old Tom Ross's list, though, is, you know what? Let's just talk about it now.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about it. We're going to break it right now. You hear it first, or you might have seen it already, but you hear it first on Tilted Pod. Tom Ross plays with 1 fetch land. I think that 1 of Marsh Flats is the sickest thing ever to turn on his Fatal Pushes. Just hold it. Just keep it there. Just who knows when he needs it.
Right.
But he's going to have it.
And so the crazy part is that's exactly what it's for. And most of the time, he was able to accomplish his Fatal Pushes in other means, which is pretty funny. Most of the time, it came off smallpox, actually.
Right, probably.
Yeah.
But that, just having that just one the extra one of, that know. One extra shot to be like, gotcha.
And I don't know if that's like a damage thing. He wants to save as much life as possible or have as many untapped lands as he can. He's got 4 Urborgs and 4 Mutavaults and 15 Swamps to go with it. So he's running a healthy 24 lands. I mean, he probably could have fit the other, 3 Marsh Flats in there for 3 Swamps. But on the other side of it, drawing lands in this deck isn't very bad. And so,
because of Raven's Crime.
Yeah, for those of you who are unfamiliar, the deck runs four Raven's Crimes, which has Retrace, a mechanic that we'll never ever see again. But it says you may cast this card from your graveyard by discarding a land card in addition to paying its other costs. So you can pay one black, discard a land card out of your hand, and then your opponent has to discard another card. And so you can keep buying back this Raven's Crime from your graveyard. And so drawing all of these lands isn't always a bad thing. I mean, it kind of, if you get flooded without a Raven's Crime, obviously you're in trouble.
Right. Yeah, this deck is interesting. It's beat me a lot. I've lost to this deck plenty, but also when I beat it, it feels so good and triumphant. Like, it feels like that wasn't, like, it was hard because you have to maneuver around not having cards, but it's not drawing very powerful off the top.
Right.
If it sticks a Lily and you can't deal with it, if it sticks a Lily and you have an empty hand, I think the game's over.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably over.
Yeah.
The Rack and Shrieking Affliction, if it doesn't have a Liliana down, sometimes you can just beat those cards by outputting damage fast, you know, and holding cards in your hand. Get, like, say you had a Thought Not Seer or a Reality Smasher. You're just going to beat them before those cards beat you.
Yeah.
You know, just hold any cards in your hand or do what you have to do. But when it gets a Lily down, and we're at pretty level playing field, it's over.
Yeah.
It feels so over if you feel helpless. The Liliana of the Veil is extremely good in this deck.
Oh, for sure. And the main, for those of you who've never played against 8-Rack or don't know what we're talking about, the main philosophy of the deck is to get as little cards in your opponent's hand as possible, play cards like the Rack and Shrieking Affliction, which means your opponents deal damage at their upkeep if they have one or fewer or three or fewer, just however many cards are in your hand.
Read it out. The Rack itself, which will be in Iconic Masters, correct?
Yes, it will be in Iconic Masters.
When it enters the battlefield, you choose an opponent, and at the beginning of the chosen player's upkeep, so your opponent, the Rack deals X damage to that player, where X is 3 minus the number of cards in their hands. So if there's 3 cards in their hand, they get nothing. If there's 7 cards in their hand, they deal no damage. If there's 0, they're taking 3 every upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
Shrieking Affliction says at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, that player loses, or if that player has 1 or fewer cards in his or her hand, he or she loses 3 life. I butchered that, but they lose 3 life.
Yeah.
So also, both of these cards are 1 mana cards. So you've got 8 instances of something that's bolting you every turn. Then the rest of your deck is removal and hand disruption.
Yep.
So 4 Inquisitions, 4 Raven's Crime, 4 Smallpox, which is extremely... That's a card that beats me.
Yeah.
Like, that's a card that really gets you. 3 Thought Seizes, 3 Wrench Mind, which... Wrench Mind makes you discard 2 cards unless you discard an artifact. So that happens quite a bit. Plus, you got your 4 Lilies. You know what I like about his deck? He runs 2 Death Shadows and 2 Bantu's Last Reckoning in the side. I also like the 1 of Shadow of Doubt.
He actually got to Shadow of Doubt somebody over the weekend on camera, and it was very good.
Yeah, it seems like that's a cool card to put in this deck. I also think that Asylum Visitor is a cool card to have in your sideboard. You know, a lot of times people have no cards in their hand, and you're just going to be drawing 2.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I like that. I like that little side. Plus the 3/1 you can just beat in with if you need to.
Yeah.
They're going to take out all their removal. Almost all their removal anyways. Yeah. Like, the Death Shadows probably are awful to deal with if, you know, they take out all their removal and then all of a sudden you stick a Death Shadow and just kill them in 2 turns.
Yeah, and I think that... Cedric and P. Sully mentioned that when Tom had talked to him, that he said Death Shadow has been so good out of the sideboard because people literally take every piece of removal out trying to put in cards that are just marginally better, and now they have this Death Shadow.
Yeah, plus you already have so many cards that disrupt their hand, so you're already taking removal from them. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Not to mention that they're going to have very limited removal. And you don't need the full 4, just the 2. So you start hitting those. I'm sure you bring in the Asylum Visitor too. So you're like Asylum Visitor and 2 Death Shadows. You're drawing extra cards, losing life, and Death Shadowing them down. And the Rack and Shrieking Affliction are dealing with the rest.
Right.
Really cool. Plus the Dismember, you can lose a lot of life, you know.
Yeah. And so I think this is one of the cool decks of the weekend. And... there are two players that I kind of want to talk about and like a little side discussion, you know, just to see what your opinion on as well, is that we have Tom Ross, who is just so versatile and can play a lot of different decks and is very good tournament after tournament after tournament. And then you have Caleb Schur, who plays Gift Storm and has played Storm for the past, I don't even know, 3-4 years? Forever. For as long as I know.
Well, he picked up Storm again once it got good again, once they printed the Bears. I don't think he played Modern Storm, really.
Well, I mean, just Legacy Storm. Yeah,
forever.
There was like a Standard Storm deck he played and a Modern Storm deck. But that's kind of like his thing, is that he likes to play Storm a lot. So I pose the question to you, as a Magic player, is it more advantageous to find the deck that you like the most and play it, tune it, adjust it, and just get so good with it that you do well every tournament, or to try and play the best deck, quote-unquote, in the format, or perhaps one of the tier one decks, that way your odds of winning are better, and just diversifying your Magic ability?
Here's
so
my
sad.
Opinion, and we speak mostly on Modern. In Standard, I think you should be prepared to play with lots of decks.
Yeah.
I think in Standard, a meta is... You can win with different decks. A meta is more important. You can spike a tournament. You can spike a tournament in Modern, too, because the decks are rotating a lot. But there's a lot of decks. And a lot of decks that just outright lose to other things. So, to me, it's pretty important in Modern to learn a deck well, learn the rest of the format, know how to beat every deck you can. And if you get matched up against one of those very rough matchups, that happens. But other than that, I think sticking to a deck in Modern is really big. If you look at people like Tom Ross, Caleb, even Harlan Fear, who won the deck or who won this tournament with Jeskai Control, a deck that everyone said is bad for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's been playing it when everyone said it was bad, and it's finally come back around to have its time in the sun, but he kept playing it.
Yeah.
Now, I think that he went too far. At a certain point, I think some decks are just kind of bad.
Unplayable.
I mean, not unplayable, but they're definitely like, you're just fighting this crazy uphill battle.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I don't really see why, if you're going to be playing competitive. Yes, play it at your FNM, play it whatever.
Right.
But if you're grinding, don't pick a deck that is going to be a crazy struggle every match, or like half the format is great against you. You only beat two decks. That just seems like a bad choice.
Yeah.
But like I said, Modern is a rotating format in a different sense of the word. It's more of like a secular format, right? So things come back around. How we were talking about Affinity. We were talking about Affinity being good, then it's bad, then it's good, then it's bad. So Harlan's stuck with Jeskai Control, and right now it looks like it's good. Or is it because he's stuck with it and he's really good with it? And somebody else just picks it up and they're like, this is the deck du jour, the deck of the day, if you speak a little French. And they suck with it because they haven't been playing it.
Right.
Like, it's hard, you know? You can't just pick up these decks. But now, like, looking at how much Jeskai and UW Control were in the top eight of these tournaments, I feel like it might be a good time to be playing them.
Right.
But, you know, Tom Ross, a perfect example, played Infect forever. Played it until it just basically he couldn't win with it anymore.
Yeah.
Started trying to find a different deck. Went to Tron. Tron wasn't really doing it for him. He's played 8-Rack in the past. This has been a deck that he's performed with. He knows the deck well. Now I'm sure he's going to be on 8-Rack for a while.
Yeah. And I think the same thing, you could say the same thing for Legacy. I mean, look at Joe Lissette. If Joe Lissette sat down in front of you when Miracles was still a thing, you knew that he was on Miracles.
Oh, I think it's even more so for Legacy.
Yeah, more so. And
also,
you knew that
price
he was
point.
The... Oh, well, and price point kinda. You know what I mean? Like, I think that if you're investing in Legacy, I think that you probably would invest in another deck should your other deck become, you know, not playable.
Well, the problem is, you gotta think about it. You can, if you invest in lands first, so like, say you have Volcanic Islands. Mm-hmm. Then you can kind of invest in decks that revolve around Volcanic Islands.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're like, no, because you're not going to just go out and buy a new set of
like Underground or something.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to do it in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, if you have Tundras and Islands, I'm going to find some other deck I can play with Tundras and Islands. But continue.
I just think that if you sat down in front of Joe Lissette, you just know that he knows all the lines. to every deck that he's played. He knows every trick. He knows everything that there is to know, and that he's already in your mind before you can even do anything. Like, he's already got you.
Yeah, that's why I also think that a lot of people who complain about the price of Legacy and Modern don't realize that in Standard, you need to be switching decks constantly. I mean, you never see Brad Nelson win a Standard tournament or his brother with like the same deck back to back. It's very rare. They're usually like, we've made a lot of changes, or we're on a completely different deck because that meta is already figured out.
Yeah.
And in Modern, it's like I think that's why pros don't like it as much, because it's like, I'm just going to play the deck I know. Everyone's playing the deck they know.
Right.
And you only have to pay for that one deck. Like, right. You can break around. You can move some things around. You can try to meta with that deck because sideboard options are so crazy in Modern. Mm-hmm. But Standard gets really expensive when you're buying deck to deck to deck. Modern, really expensive up front. And then it kind of mellows out if you're the type of person who doesn't want to play every deck.
Right.
Now, if you want to play every deck, Modern and Legacy are going to be ridiculous.
Right.
But if you don't, you can get into the format. You know, what do you think about it? I think that's it's a fair
assessment. That's definitely a good assessment. If you look at what Brad Nelson wrote before he won the Open with Tamir Energy, he wrote that deck was awful. And he had a whole article about how you shouldn't be on that deck. And then like a week or two later, he went and won the Open with it.
Yeah, he changed his deck type completely.
Yeah, he just changed a few cards and said, this is the deck I'm going to play. Went and spiked the tournament and won.
Yeah, I feel like, so as a person who has deck ADD, that's why Standard is appealing to me.
Yeah.
As a person where my wallet isn't as deep as it once was for Magic cards, like, that's why Standard is not appealing to me anymore.
Yeah.
Because you need to continue to rotate through these cards.
Yeah.
You can't play this. Like, I don't feel like you play the same Standard deck over and over and over again. Now, in Modern, I developed a collection. I do have some options, personally.
Right.
I have a lot of options in Modern. But I put a lot of money into it over time. But I usually stick to, like, one thing for a while. Because, okay. The question you were posing, is it better to play the same deck or to, you know, switch around so you know the format? I think it's good to understand the format by playing against other decks. And if you can borrow decks or do all that, yes. But do I think that it's best to stick with a deck for a while in a eternal format? 100%.
Yeah.
I think the worst I've done is when I don't know a deck well enough. I'm never going to just pick up a Modern deck most of the time.
Right.
You're not going to pick up a Modern deck and spike a tournament because you just don't know it well. I mean, Modern decks are intricate. Legacy decks are extremely intricate.
Right.
It's very hard. I think getting to know your deck and understanding your play style with the deck, knowing what works for you and what doesn't, is so important. So, yes, I think that people, even the pros, know that when it comes to eternal formats, they got to kind of stick with what they know.
And I'll tell you where this question's really coming from, is that while watching the Open over the weekend, there was a match between Jeskai Control and Scapeshift. And with a Spellqueller in hand, Harlan Fear, who won the Open, was playing Scapeshift, and it was pretty much a winning end. And in game one...
Against Scapeshift.
And in game one, his opponent had him pretty much dead to rights, three mana extra, played Scapeshift... was covered for the mana leak and everything, and Harlan Spellquellered the Scapeshift, right? And with the trigger on the stack, the Scapeshift player lightning bolted the Spellqueller. And then they all scooped up their cards and went to game two. And so after game two was finished, the broadcast actually went to another game because they thought that match had concluded. And it turns out that Harlan actually won the first game because with the trigger on the stack, the Scapeshift got exiled and he could not cast it.
So what you're saying is, basically, instead of bolting him after the stack was cleared, after the Spellqueller already ate up and exiled that spell, so he could cast it again, he did it with a trigger on the stack, which is... Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, is this bad? Is this against a player that knows his deck or against a player that hasn't played with other decks and doesn't understand how other cards work? Because they could go either way.
I think that as a player who would play the same deck over and over again, you would have seen effects like this. Because there are other effects like this in Modern.
Right.
Eldrazi Taxis has an effect like this.
So we have to remember Spellqueller is a relatively new card.
That's true. That's true. I just feel like, for me, I would want to have played that deck so many times. And he was 11-3 when this happened. This is a winning in for a top 8. Or 10-3, I think. I would have wanted to play the deck so many times that I knew how that interaction worked. And I think that he had a wonderful tournament. He had great results. And this is nothing against him. But it's one of those things where if you miss it, it's kind of like, well, how did that happen?
You know what I think? I think people say would trigger on the stack too much. I think that happens a lot. I think you hear it once from a pro and you're like, oh, no, never mind. I got to kill this with a trigger on the stack. Even though I have two removal spells.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need, like, so with Thought Knots here, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
People will, like, with the trigger on the stack, I'm going to kill your Thought Knot Seer, even though I have two removal spells that right. both were going to kill it.
Yeah.
So instead, I'm just going to give you an additional card to take plus my additional removal. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to give you more options.
Yeah.
I would rather you just take one of my removal spells or take the non-removal. I mean, I can see it go either way. But what I'm saying is, I think sometimes people use that too much. They feel like they're being super smart. And in this case, it burned him bad. Like right. that, he was actually completely wrong right. with that.
And then another example, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago for the last Modern Open, there was a guy there playing the Ironworks combo deck, had Inventor's Fair down with three artifacts for several turns in a row.
And was missing the trigger.
And just missed the life gain trigger.
It's a new deck.
Do you want to know how he died? On exact damage in turns.
Yeah.
And it's just like you would have gained 5, 6, 7 life had you been playing with the deck. And I know it's a new deck, and I know that not everybody has a lot of time to play, but that's one of those decks you can goldfish. You know, you that don't even is, have to be playing
when you're
somebody.
Goldfishing, sometimes the life trigger, I'm making excuses, but playing devil's advocate, I agree with you 100% though.
Yeah. Because even if you're goldfishing, you should be in the habit of doing the life gain. If you're skipping the life gain now, while practicing, you're just setting yourself up for bad habits.
I'm saying like you're playing Jonah and you're missing Bob triggers. Now, that's like... That's this bad. Deck has been around forever. You know, Bob's been around. Like, if you're missing this brand new, like, this weird, you're playing a weird deck. Like, you're trying to spike this tournament with a super odd combo deck. Right. He won't miss it next time. You right. know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
That's probably because it has got the new deck. And sometimes you miss triggers even if you've known the deck for a long time and you just got those high round jitters.
Right. I mean,
but... Or he drank too much the night before. You know, like
could be anything.
I also think though, when it really comes down to it, I wonder if not playing enough decks, not understanding how more decks work, actually went against the Scapeshift player or actually go against some of those other players, thinking about like, okay, how if I was playing it, we're just going to keep using Scapeshift and Jeskai Control as the example. If I was, like, as a Scapeshift player, if I started thinking in the shoes of the Jeskai player, knowing decklist, knowing, like, how you would play against yourself, maybe because he's never done that and Jeskai Control is not a huge deck, he just, like, had no clue. You know?
Yeah.
So that could go either way.
There's a lot of variance.
That's a very interesting, to me, that's very interesting conversation to have.
Right.
And I implore any listener to let us know what you think. Is it better to play the same deck forever or just, you know, a lot, or experiment with tons and tons of decks in the format to try to get a broad knowledge of what is happening, or to be an assassin with one deck?
Yeah.
You know, would you rather have a good general knowledge where I'd say as a player, me personally, I have a very good broad knowledge of Modern.
Mm-hmm.
I know what most decks are doing. I understand most interactions. I'm a jack of all trades, not a master of one.
Right.
So the problem is I lose a lot to the people who are the master of their deck because they know their deck so well. I only know it to this degree, you know, and they know it to the nth degree. I'm down here in the middle.
And I think that for the past like 4 years, I've only played two decks in Modern. I've played Jeskai Control and Sun and Moon. And so I was very intimately involved with both those decks, so I could tell you the ins and outs of both of them. Whereas my broad knowledge of how... I mean, I know the basis of every deck that comes at me. I know what it's trying to do. But sometimes after game one of sideboarding, I really have to think to myself, what cards do they have in their deck, just because I'm a little unfamiliar with the 75 because I don't play them.
Yeah, the 75 can change drastically.
Yeah, I mean, the 60 kind of stays the same. So you can guess the 60.
A lot of times, unless you're just playing against a rogue weirdo. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you the 75 for Grixis Death Shadow pretty easily, or Affinity. But if you ask me
within five cards.
Yeah, within five cards. But if you ask me what the sideboard is to Bant Nightfall, I'm at a loss. And I just, you know, I could guess Sigarda.
I bet you would guess. I bet if, honestly, if we put you to the test, I bet you could guess at least six of the cards. Six? Seven, maybe 10.
I don't know about 10. I'll give you seven. I could probably guess seven.
We're going to play this game right now. You heard it first.
Oh, no.
We had a Bant Nightfall or a Bant Company. How about this? In 13th place in the, what is this? Which tournament was this? This was the, sorry, guys. Sorry, listeners, for holding you up. Nick Lemming in 13th place on Star City Games Classic played Bant Company. Okay, we're going to, I'm going to read off the main deck.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm going to have you, Nate, he's not looking, ladies and gentlemen, his laptop is closed. I can tell you right now, he is not going to look. He's going to try to guess the sideboard. And there's some interesting cards in there.
Oh, good.
But
I was worried.
I bet you can get a few.
Okay.
Okay, so the main deck, we've got 28 creatures. Avon Mind Censor, there's two of. Three Birds of Paradise, one Eternal Witness, 4 Knight of Reliquary, 4 Noble Hierarch, 2 Ramunap Excavator, 2 Tireless Tracker, 3 Voice of Resurgence, 4 Courser of Crucifix. So you can tell that this deck is very much like the green-white value town, splashing blue. 2 Azusa, 1 Nissa Vastwood Seer. We're playing with 1 Court of Calling, 4 Collected Companies, 4 Paths.
Okay.
The lands, we don't really need to go over. So let's think about sideboard. You've got 15 cards. Let's hear them.
So I think the card that is most often in the sideboards of these kind of decks is there's always a one of Sigarda, the Lost Heron, the one that you can't, your opponent can't make you sacrifice things.
Okay.
And she has hexproof.
It's a good pick.
Affinity is always a problem for them. So I'm guessing there would be a Stony Silence or two. I'm going to guess a 1-1 split of Stony Silence and Kataki War Mage. And the only reason I say Kataki War Mage is because I played Kiki Chord, and I know that I ran that over Stony Silence because you can search for it. Dredge is probably a bad matchup, so I'm going to say, oh, they can't run Rest in Peace because of their own stuff, so no Rest in Peace. 1 Engineered Explosives for Grixis Death Shadow, so I'm at 5 cards.
Where's back at the Dredge thing? You were on to something.
I was on to something with Dredge. I just don't know what card it would be.
Yes, you do. 100% know it. There's been so many sideboards.
Oh, Surgical Extraction.
Okay.
So there's probably 2 Surgicals because it's a free card. I'm going to say Dredge isn't very prominent, so it's probably 1 or 2. I'm going to say 2. I know a lot of decks are running Blessed Alliance, so we'll put in a Blessed Alliance. There's always the artifact killing creature, Reclamation Sage.
So right now, hold on, I want to say this right now. Okay, so we've got a Sigarda, a 1 Stony Silence, 1 Kataki War Mage, 1 Engineer Explosive, 2 Surgicals, 1 Wreck Sage, and 1 Blessed Alliance.
Yeah.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cards right now that you have guessed.
2 Kitchen Finks for burn. Was there any Kitchen Finks in the main?
I don't think I heard.
Okay, so 2 Kitchen Finks for burn. 2 Avon Mind Censors.
In the main.
In the main. So that would be, we'll have a 3rd in the sideboard.
I have to write this on my hand, guys, because I came unprepared. So,
unprepared. And 3 Ley Lines.
And 3 Ley Lines.
Ley Lines of Sanctity. That would be my guess.
Is that 15?
Yeah, that should be 15. We're close.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. You need 2 more cards.
I need 2 more cards. There wasn't a Crucible in the main board. I don't know if
you won't want Crucible because you're already playing Ramunap Excavator.
Oh, that's right.
With Ghost Quarter.
One chord of calling, four cocos.
One chord, four cocos, four path.
I'll say a thrag tusk in the side and a whisperwood elemental.
Okay, so going based off Todd's list.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to let you know what you did. You guessed a lot of cards right, but you were off on quite a few.
Oh, so good.
The engineer explosives, there's two of.
Okay, that makes sense. One. Yeah, that makes sense.
Here's the weird one they have over Sigarda. I don't agree with it necessarily, but they have an Angel of Invention.
Ooh, is that the new one?
That's the Flying, Vigilance, Lifelink, yeah. 2-1. Other creatures you control get +1/+1, Fabricate 2. Okay. It's a cool card. It's popular in a couple of decks. It's kind of neat to see it here. Kitchen Finks, you guessed 2. There's 1.
Okay.
Rexage, you got it. There's 1 Rexage. Mm-hmm. Stony Silence. This is the one I was really surprised you got wrong. There's 2 Stony Silences. 2 Stony Silence and a Kotaki.
Oh, there's 3?
Yeah, because normally people play, yeah, a lot of artifact hate.
I guess so. I mean,
I feel like you're a person who plays 3 Stony Silences, so I thought for sure you would get that one right.
I think I was,
but
yeah.
You did get 1 and 1. You did get both a Kotaki and a Stony.
Okay.
You missed an Eidolon of Rhetoric completely.
Oh, for so Storm.
You missed
and
something
elves.
For Storm completely.
Yeah.
Blessed Alliance, you did get right, but there's 2.
Okay, 2
Surgical,
makes sense.
I had to help you a little bit, but but you thought correctly.
Yeah.
You deducted, and you were like, no, I can't use Rest in Peace because it's going to ruin my graveyard. You missed a Thalia and an Elspeth.
Which Thalia?
Guardian. 3.
Okay.
Yeah, another card for Storm. You need. Yeah. You have to have cards
I
for Storm.
I guess I didn't have the Storm 8. I got about half.
You were really close. Yeah. You would say, okay, out of all of them, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You got like 8.
Oh, that's
you got like
not bad.
8 of them.
Okay.
That's pretty good. So
yeah.
This is a good test on deductive reasoning based on a deck that's an interesting deck. And you were trying. So this is not like a normal deck, right?
Right.
This is a deck that we've seen Green White Value Town. We've seen Bant Company in the past. The Bant Company that wasn't playing Ramunap Excavators and stuff like that. But you took the information I gave you in game one by telling you the cards we had, and you deducted 8 cards out of the sideboard that you knew, and you at least hit the cards.
Right.
Some of them you were like on how many there would be, you were a little off.
Right.
But you hit everything but Stormhate.
Yeah.
So other than that, I mean, I All think right. you did a really good job. Okay, guys, we've been talking for a while. We got 15 minutes to bust down list real quick.
Deck list.
We are going hardcore. So I think that was a fun game. We should do that more. That was good. And I think that as a player, you could do that more.
Yeah.
By like looking at deck lists, looking at their main deck, and then trying to guess or guesstimate what they have in their sideboard. And that might help you better during tournaments.
Right.
I mean, because you don't have a list in front of you. And if you're starting to nail them, you know, all the time.
Consistently.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, so in the Modern Open in Louisville, Kentucky.
Open!
Harlem Fear, 1 with Jeskai Control. We already talked about it. We didn't actually talk about his list, though. But this mofo is playing Guys Sustain Traps and Spell Quellers and Snapcaster Mages. I like it. I like Spell Queller, dude.
Yeah.
For one thing alone,
it was good.
People don't know how to play against it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's still kind of new in Modern. 4 Celestial Colonnades. Sure, whatever, dude. Do what you do. What
do
you gotta
you.
Do. I don't agree with it, but I do in this deck more than a lot of other decks because this is still, you know, a whatever. It's more of a control deck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not. So cool card in this deck, I think. Pian Kara Nalar
in the sideboard.
In the sideboard, a 2 of. See, I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
That's a card I would be like, yeah. Disdainful Stroke, I'd have been like 50-50 on. It's like sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah.
It's right now I feel like it's either Disdainful Stroke or it's Ceremonious Rejection. So I'd be betting half and half on which one he had.
Right.
Disdainful Stroke is better against probably a broader field.
Range.
Ceremonious Rejection is a lot better against Affinity as well.
Especially with Snapcaster Mage.
Right. And he has really kind of low Affinity hate in his sideboard because he's running Lightning Helix, Lightning Bolt, Electrolyze. He's running a lot of cards. Spell
Path.
Snare. That really rock your world as an Affinity player. So he is dedicated. Like his sideboard, he's like, I don't need Affinity hate, really. Like, I'm looking at it right now, and I see hardly any Affinity. A Wear Tear, which I don't really think is Affinity hate.
No.
I mean, Engineered Explosives.
But...
Like literally, an Is It Staticaster just wrecks Affinity. Like, so he doesn't really need stony silences. Right. You know, it's a kind of a waste for him.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Harlan. But he came in first, beating Brandon Dalloway,
who played the same deck.
Just got control. So we're gonna talk about exact. I mean, oh my God, it's almost exact. Okay, here we go. Here's the difference. This deck has two stony silences in it. I think a wasted spot.
I mean, it could be. It could very well be.
I think Harlan projected right. This deck has three ceremonious rejections.
I like that.
I like that too. But
that's five cards for Affinity.
Yeah, but that's a.
No, I know that's
too much.
Yeah, it's too much.
I mean, I think I like the way Harlan looked at the sideboard.
Yeah.
He also is playing the Wear. He's only playing one Disdainful Stroke. He's got an Elspeth, Sun's Champion, and one Anger of Gods.
Right.
Interesting to me. I think it's interesting to see the way that they built these different.
Yeah.
You know, and he was a lot more worried about Affinity. Harlan was like, I already have a good matchup. Mm-hmm. Why waste board slots? Yeah. I need to shore up my bad matchups. In third place, haven't seen this in a while, Tyler Lutz. Jund.
Shout out to Josh Kidd.
What up, Joshy Kidd?
Go back to Jund. Quit playing Death Shadow.
Yeah.
This deck is sweet. I love the one of Kalidas.
It's sad when you miss Jund.
Yeah, oh yeah, like, for sure.
If fucking, or sorry for cursing, but if anyone is playing Abzan, like, switch to Jund. It's cooler. It's just cooler. You are a cooler person to play Jund than you are playing Abzan.
Yeah.
But, sorry, I know we just alienated some of our listeners. I don't care. Abzan is boring as hell to me.
No shit's given.
Dark Confidant, Scavenging News, Tarmogoyf, Kalidas, Olivia. That's why. Play an Olivia, dude. Have fun.
Yeah, I'm totally all about this deck, actually.
Colgan's Command, Lightning Bolt, Terminate. Yeah, I used to hate this deck, and now it's got Chandra and Olivia, and it's got all these things.
Stormbreath Dragon and Aside.
Interesting card in the sideboard as well. You gain 4 life. If a creature died this turn, you gain 8. It's called Life Goes On. It's from Hour of Devastation. Some ley lines. That Stormbreath in the side is sick, nasty, dirty.
Yeah.
Surgicals, Collective Brutality. Love this deck. I think this deck is sweet.
Yeah.
I actually kind of want to play this deck.
Yeah.
8-Rack. We talked about it for a while, so we're not really going to get into it, but congratulations, Tom Ross.
Yep.
You Are Gift Storm by Caleb Shear. We've talked about this deck repeatedly on the floor.
And let me just tell you that
Still not playing fetches.
No, he's still not playing fetches. He doesn't believe in him.
He's playing Peak, too. It's so
he's weird. Playing Peak and one Noxious Revival. Let me tell you, watching him play this, if anybody wants to think about playing Storm, go back to the last Open, watch him play this, because he is a ninja with this deck. He knows exactly what he wants to do. He's the best
Storm player, probably, in the Open series.
And it's just, shout out to him, because he was amazing at it.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
His gifts took about 3 seconds to find the 4 cards.
Well, should only take that long.
They should. Because
most of the time, people know. If he's gifting in, like, awkward situations, though, then
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's wild to keep track of his storm count, to keep track of his mana. He makes sure he knows exactly what he's doing when he's doing it. He had some very hard plays with a card called Wipe Away.
Split second,
3-drop, and return target permanent to its owner hand. He had to make some very awkward plays with it to win the game against Ad Nauseam, and he saw the lines perfectly.
Also, interesting thing he's playing is strategic planning.
Yeah, 3 so in the main.
If you're playing a Pass and Flame stack, strategic planning can sometimes be draw 3
mm-hmm.
for 2 mana, right? And then you get to select the card going to your hand, but I think it's a cool card. A lot of people in this spot, in the Peak / strategic planning spot, are actually playing Peer Through Depths.
Mm-hmm.
I think the strategic planning is kind of cool. I'm digging it. But also, I think Peer Through Depths is like training wheels. Strategic planning is going to be a lot harder.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to 5-color Death Shadow. From Clay Spickelmeyer, this dude beat Joe Lissette one time.
And he won the
Legacy Invitation, I think.
He was also a part of the team that took down the Team Open in Louisville the last time they were there.
So, I like this deck. It is a Stubborn Denial, Liliana the Shadow. Veil. It hasn't been around for a while. If I was playing Death Shadow right now, I think this is the Death Shadow I would want to play. It's a lot more fun. I got really burnt out on Grixis Death Shadow. I think this deck packs a lot more punch. Yeah. I love playing with Tarmogoyf and Death Shadow in unison, and I like playing with Lily of the Veil.
Just so you guys know where the five colors are from, he's got...
It's Splashing Stubborn.
It's blue for Stubborn and Counters in the Side. It's white for Lingering Souls in the Side. And it's red for Terminate.
Oh, yeah, the fifth color. I forget about the fifth color. Yeah, Lingering Souls in the Side. Okay, so I would probably do without that. I'd probably go four color.
Yeah.
Lingering Souls can be cool. Still a cool deck, though. Screw it. I hate Lingering Souls for some reason with all my heart. White-Black Eldrazi and Taxes coming in. Jared Hall in seventh place. We got three of Tidehauler Scholar. We got three of Dark Confidant. Obviously, we're playing Displacers and Flicker Wisps. This is a lot of three of's. Weird. Jared, you got a problem here? Leonin Arbiter, Reality Smasher, both three of's. Thalia, Guardian of Thrabia. Three of Thrabia.
Thrabia.
Thalia, Guardian of Labia. Wasteland Stranger, one of. That's usually like a go-to in this deck, which is weird. 24 lands and 8 spells. Guess what they are? Aether Vials and Paths.
Go easy figure. Guess.
Sideboard, you get the best options. I mean, honestly, you get the best sideboard options ever. Since Death and Shadow is on such a downfall, Mirren Crusader, not as good, but he's still got one in the sideboard.
Yeah.
Moving on, Grixis, Death Shadow in 8th. I say Death Shadow is on a downfall, but apparently it's not. Sam Schaefer. What up, Shafe, Mave?
Shafe.
This is the boring version. Like, to me, this deck is starting to get boring, too.
Yeah, it just doesn't look as fun, for sure.
It's a great deck. It seems a little bit like a Legacy deck, but you know what? Grixis Delver looks boring to me now, too. Like, I think it's a boring-looking deck.
Yeah.
I do like that we're upping our Lily count. We're upping it up, dude. Mm-hmm. I think it's important, man. Liliana the Veil is coming back. She's seeing her day. It's not, she was never really that gone, but she was a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
All right, now we're getting into the top 16 portion of this. We've got Eldrazi Tron, piloted by Chris Showers. Cool name, dude. Don't change it. Anything interesting in this one? A Trading Post is kind of interesting in the sideboard. Other than that, this is a very... I mean, Mind Stones. It's the Mind Stone version.
Yeah.
If you're playing Mind Stone, you're for sure playing like Wormcoil and Karn Liberated, etc. Mm-hmm. We're going to move on. UW Control.
This deck's kind of cool. I think it's getting ready for the Gideon rule change also.
He's prepping for it.
It's one Gideon Jura, three Gideon of Trials, one Jace Architect of Thought.
Glimmer of Genius.
And Glimmer two of Genius of is in the main. I think that card's going to be... I think it's slowly making its way to Modern.
Do you?
Yeah.
So my favorite thing about this deck right now is that he's playing four Supreme Verdicts. Verdicts. I think if you're going to play a blue-white deck, just play four Supreme Verdicts. I don't like... His creatures suck anyways. He's like Wall of Omens is just a block for a little bit, draw a card.
Yeah.
Snapcaster is just card value. It's not really a creature in this deck because you don't have Bolt. So it's not really going to win the game. Your Gideons will. Or... He's a blue-white deck that is not running Sphinx's Rev, and I think that is awesome. Like, he's like, I don't need that card. I don't need to worry about drawing it.
I think Glimmer of Genius is just a better card in this build anyway.
Way better. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a card that, like, he didn't need, and he you know how you say don't kill, or, like, you have to kill your idols sometimes?
Yeah.
This deck completely did that. It said, I am not going to... Like, waste a slot. Like, I'd rather play a negate over that, or a spell snare, or have something that's going to deal damage, or deal something. Followed by, in 11th place, Richard Nixon III.
Ah.
Dude, hardcore.
Hell yeah. Right. Playing Storm, it's pretty stockless. I am not
a Storm player. That's a bad Richard Nixon. Can you do one?
No, I can't.
Do it.
Anyway, let's move on.
No, do it.
Come on.
Do it.
I can't.
Okay.
Fine. I don't even have it.
Is he playing anything interesting? He's playing Scalding Tarns.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He's playing Peer Through the Depths. Yep, this deck is exactly the same. Moving on, Affinity. Richard Nixon III. Affinity.
Matthew Nicola is not playing what card?
Where is it?
Etch Champion. He has zero Etch Champions. Oh, he's going to full
four on Master of Aetherion.
Isn't that weird? Three in the sideboard, Etch Champions.
Man, I honestly think that the... Etch Champion is so bad in some matchups.
Yeah.
But he put it in the sideboard. When it comes out, that Master of Aetherium, people sometimes just can't kill.
Yeah.
Like, and if they
when
can't...
When it's good, it's good.
It's devastating. But the card that I'm still, like, the most, I think, is the worst in this deck, and, like, it makes me mad sometimes when I draw more than one, is Steel Overseer.
Oh, yeah,
it's
for sure.
Only good the first time. For and sure. It's only good if you can drop it on turn one or two, and yeah. they just don't have the removal, which they do. Coming in 13th is Bradley
Gonsenbauer.
Gonsenbauer.
So I like this list. It's the exact red-white list that you would see any other burn place. The sideboard is super different, and I really like it. It's running...
Oh! What? That sideboard is sick.
What? Burn deck running three ensnaring bridges in a side.
Okay, that's I love I've it. Seen it, but it's not we haven't seen it in top 8 or top 16 in a while.
Yeah. It's also running two guttural
that's
responses.
That's the card that is sick.
It's a hybrid mana, either red or green, counter target blue instant spell.
Yeah, you know what? Fudge off blue instant spells. That is bad. A
get rolled.
I like it. Shattering Spree in the board. Yep. Cores, Relic of Progenitus. Hey, thanks for making a super simple burn list for us to look at with a cool sideboard.
Yeah.
Bradley, appreciate it, dude.
Next two decks we've talked about past couple weeks, Eldrazi Tron, Dan Musser, Eldrazi Tron, Ricky Thorson.
Playing Ulamog, though. We'll just say that. We're going to throw that out there. Oh, yeah. He's got a Witchbane Orb in the sideboard, too.
Yeah. 16th place, Owen Podwika is playing Living End. And it's got some new cards in it. Just throw it out. We're not going to talk about this one long. It's running two Fairy Macabs. Super good card.
Horror of the Broken Lands and Archfiend of Ifnir and Desert Ceridon. So this is, it's got a lot of the new switching.
Yeah,
up
just
cards.
One mana cyclers instead of the two manas.
It's one of Nate's favorite cards too, Slaughter Games.
Inside. I love Slaughter Games. Two of them. One of the best cards in Modern that nobody plays.
All right. And the rest of the top, did you see anything crazy in the rest of the top?
Top 32.
64.
Or 32.
Yeah.
No, not too crazy.
There's an Esper Shadow, a few elves. Oh, how about number 32, dude? There's actually a lot of elves. Number 32, though. Brannon. It's not even Brannon. It's Brannon. Maze. Infect.
Maze.
Good on you, dude. I've been trying to make it work again. It hasn't been working. Cool thing he's doing, running two Deserter's Deliverance in the sideboard. Or
Maze.
In the main deck. That's an interesting choice. What do you think
about
that?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot, actually.
Destroy target artifact with cycling in the main deck. It also, the cycling fuels his Become Immense.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of cool. I could get behind this, maybe.
I still don't think it's that good, but it is kind of cool.
No, probably not, but he did top 32. And how many people were in this tournament? I mean...
For sure.
This was a big tournament.
All right, let's head over to the Classic. Just a few deck lists we need to talk about. First place, UA Control. By Raymond Perez. It's the basic UA control version with the Sphinx's Rev. It has a Vendilion click in it in the main. Other than that, you know, pretty much the same.
Raymond Perez, pretty notable player.
Yeah,
too.
And he's really good. He played Jeskai Control, Luke Purcell in the finals, and this is more of a classic build of Jeskai Control. One in Johnny, one Torrential Gearhawk, three Snapcaster Mages. Real control-y. That had to have been an awful match to watch.
Yeah, boring.
Ad Nauseam by Ricky Tovar in third place. I love it. I wish this deck did better. I like the deck a lot. He is running six temples in the main board.
That seems about right.
Yeah, and so I like that a lot. I think there's a lot of scry.
Fourth, we're going to slow down for a sec to talk about this one. Esper Gifts. Okay, so this deck is a deck that we've seen versions of this deck around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a... if and or but deck, but this is a Goryeo Vengeance Jace Vryn's Prodigy Obsidat deck.
Yeah,
you also have the Iona Elesh Norn Snap Lingering Souls Gifts Ungiven package with an Unburial Rites. So you have a lot of things you can do here. You've got Ruined Halos on the sideboard, Counter Squalls to Sameful Stroke. Verdicts. You can play kind of a control game, kind of a combo game, kind of a hand disruption game. There's a lot of things you can do with this list. It's a ton of 3-0s. I suggest going and looking at it and checking it out. It's a very interesting list. This looks like a good version of it to me. What do you think?
I really like the 75 right here.
I think this is a good 75.
I would say that Heath Vance has played this deck a lot. And has nailed it down to the numbers he wants.
Yeah.
One of the things I love the most is the 4 Collective Brutality. I think that's perfect for this deck.
Oh, yeah. Because, he needs to be discarding cards.
Oh, for sure.
And it's just so good against some decks.
It is a blowout.
He can get rid of it real easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a card that if it's bad, Like, it's, I don't think it's ever bad in his deck, though.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, it's probably never bad.
Yeah.
I could maybe see one more Unburial Rites somewhere in the 75.
Yeah.
Just in case. I mean, I like only having one for the gifts package, but what if you could get it out a little sooner with like a Collective Brutality and you have like Unburial Rites and Elshinorn in your hand?
Right.
And then you're just like pop, pop, and then just start going off.
It's probably, I don't know. I mean, I could see two. I think one's fine too. I mean, going down to three Collective Brutalities, one Unburial Rites. I could see a
second one on your maybe. I mean, I might be wrong. I might be just completely off on that. But the deck is cool. I like it. I'd be interested in trying it out. Yep. Then Caleb Schlegel.
Boggles.
Boggles, dude.
Boggling people.
I'm glad that you had a fun tournament where you basically boggles didn't people. Care what anybody else did, and you just drew good and killed them. I like playing like that too, buddy.
Three Griff Spoons in the main, though.
Yeah, man. You got to get them flying.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Right? I mean, come on. Anything cool in the sideboard?
I mean, he also has a Selena Ledgewalker.
So I've been seeing that more.
Yeah.
It's like the heavier creature builds, because the only way they were losing was to like Liliana. So they're putting more creatures out there. Followed by Affinity. Now, I do want to talk about this. Maddie Russell. Maddie, love you. Love you, baby. Love you. Who loves you? Throne of the God Pharaoh. I love you. That's why. Glintness Crane. I love you. What's up? This is awesome. Cutting down on a Mimnite. 2-3 split between Etched and Master of Aetherium. Master of Aetherium getting the less. Still 17 lands. We're not seeing the switch to 16 quite as much. Pretty wild sideboard. Lots of colors. Lots of things going on. But the Throne and the two Glintness Cranes are pretty cool. All you're doing is you're cutting down two Galvanic Blasts. And you got another win condition. Plus, Glintness Crane can find you that spicy one of, you know, that spicy card you need. Like, it can find you that Cranial Plating, or it can find you the Master, you know, something. Cool deck.
Yeah.
Red Green Breach by Tyler Maloney. That's baloney, dude.
Baloney. It's a normal Red Green Breach.
It's Our Promise. It's not even. Oh, it is Through the Breach. Yeah. Oh, why? This is weird. This is not that normal. It's running Our Promise and all that other stuff. He's just adding Through the Breach instead of Scape Shifts.
Yeah.
Weird. I feel like that's a weird deck. Just run Scape Shifts, right?
I mean, I've been seeing this a little bit more often too.
Really?
Yeah.
This is interesting to me.
They just try and search out there. It's more of a, instead of trying to get build up to Scape Shift and try and get it to resolve, this is more of a can do it at any time, and all you're doing is trying to collect mountains on the battlefield.
Yeah, I mean, I get the inevitability, but the Hour of Promise is still cool in this type of deck. I like that, but I mean, I still think that it just running like three Scape Shift in this deck would be better than Through the Breach. I don't know. I feel like this is a better Scape Shift deck, but what do I know? UW Control coming in 8th place. Very control heavy. Also getting ready for that Gideon change.
Yeah.
Rune Halo in the main. This guy is not scared.
Baller.
Two Sphinx's Revelations.
Two Sphinx's Revelations.
Oh, I hate it. I hate this deck altogether.
Yeah.
I think this deck is dumb. But Drake, good job. Good job building it and beating people with it. In the rest of them, we got anything? Oh, we did have. Why don't you talk about that interesting Abzan deck? Because you know I hate talking about Abzan.
I know. We are not an Abzan people. But in 12th place, David Dunham has made Abzan Eldrazi.
And we are Eldrazi.
And we are Eldrazi people. So one Bird's Paradise, two Displacer, three Matter Shaper, four Nobles, four Smashers, three Uses, four Thought Knots. I love the creature package. I just think it's kind of like a more reliable way to get your Eldrazi out there faster. I know that you're... One drops normally die, but if they don't, I feel like it also helps. Obviously, they're running the four temples, two ghost quarters, all of the lands for Abzan. And their spells, you get black now, so you have Abrupt Decay, Fatal Push, Collective Brutality. I just like this deck a lot. And I like in the side, they get a Zealous Persecution. I think that card can be really good right now. Rest in Peace, Grafdigger's Cage, Engineer Explosive, Sigarda, Elspeth, Collective Brutality, Maelstrom Pulse. I just think this is a cool deck. I think it's a cool color combination of Eldrazi that we haven't seen yet.
I think it's sweet, man. All right, we're going to wrap this up, but we do have one more tournament to talk about, but we're pretty much just going to brief over it except for one deck.
One. There can only be one Highlander.
So this is the Modern Challenge. I love looking at the Modern Challenge results. I think it's very important to check out what's going on MTGO. Mm-hmm. I hope that doesn't go away with the release of Arena. I think it's still up in the air, but I think people are going to want to continue to play Modern and Legacy on MTGO.
Yeah.
It was won by Miguel Caster with Eldrazi and Taxes. It was also 6-1 list with Eldrazi and Taxes. There's a lot of Eldrazi and Taxes in this list. But if you scroll down to a 5-2 list, which is pretty good, 5-2 in the challenge, because these challenges, I don't know if you guys have played in them. They're not easy. A lot of very good players are playing these challenges. UB. What's that stand for? By Chen Zeming.
UB?
Freaking... Dude, it's Curse Catchers and Fatal Pushes together. Woo! What do you think about playing some Merfolk with Fatal Pushes?
I think that was one of the things Merfolk had going against it, is that their only consistent removal was Dismember. And I think that losing that life was really detrimental to them. And so adding Fatal Push could be, you know...
You know what else that means? You get
the great thing...
You get to play with fetches, which is cool. So thins your deck a little bit. I know that's very little, but who cares? But you also get to play with Thoughtseize in the sideboard. Against those combo like that. Decks that are going over the top of you before you can beat them down.
I do like that.
I think that this is a cool.
Yeah.
Like,
very and I know cool. the original two-color Merfolk was blue-white for Path to Exile.
I think this is way better.
This is way better, and I would like to try this with the Merfolk deck I have.
We'll just break it down real quick, what's going on here.
Yeah.
Four Curse Catchers. Sure, I like that because I think Curse Catchers is a good all-over card. When people start cutting them, I get a little nervous around the deck. Three Harbinger of Tides. I'm even down to cutting that to two, in my opinion. That
probably should be a two.
And having like some in the sideboard, but yeah. So we've got our eight masters, obviously, or eight masters plus two mirror Rejuries. Four Master of Waves, one Kira, four Silvergill, two Phantasmal Image. I like how he went from like he added the two images over just playing four mirror Rejuries just so he could get that beat down in quick if he needed, or draw an extra card if he wanted to copy a Silvergill Adept. Then you got the four Fatals, four Spreadings, four Aether. 20 lands. The only thing different is he's adding Polluted Deltas and Flooded Strands. So you've got 8 fetch lands to turn on your Fatal Pushes and get your, I think there's only one or two Watery Graves. Sorry. Sideboard, you get to play Thoughtseize. You get Disdainful Stroke, 3 Hercules Recalls, 3 Tidebinder Mage, which I do like. I haven't seen that in a while. Dampening Matrix, another Kira, and some Relics. I think this is a cool.
The only thing that I would change, and this is just from...
You've played more Merfolk than me, so you could...
Yeah, this is just from me playing the deck more. I like the 2 Harbinger of the Tides and 3 Mary Rejuries.
I could see that more.
Rejury allows you to do dumb things.
No, I agree. I like Rejury. I think that it's cool that he's adding 2 Phantasmal Images. Yeah. I've been seeing those cut lately. I don't really love Harbinger. I mean, it is good.
Situationally good.
It's really good against any deck that's like... you know, cheating out creatures and swinging, you know, but is good. It's just one of those cards that every time I've played Merfolk, I've been like, when there's 4 in the deck, I'm like, this is too much. Like, it's
when you draw it, it's bad.
It just feels bad unless I have an Aether Vial on 2.
Yeah.
You know? I think this deck is cool. Only one Cavern main, but who cares?
Right.
I think this deck is really cool. So is there anything else? There's a lot of Counters Company made some show-ups. Did some show-ups. But other than that, I think... Matsugan. What is this? Oh, there's the Super Combo deck. Do you remember us talking about this before?
Which one?
The Super... Matsugan. Matsugan is also kind of a known player.
Yeah.
This is the Wild Cantor, Devoted Druid, Walking Ballista, Duskwatch Vizier. So you're only playing... this is playing more than the normal. I think this is playing 15 lands. I think normally there's like 12. But you're playing like Oaths, Conjurer's Baubles, Mistress Baubles, Weird Harvest, Manamorph, like a bunch of cards that you don't even know what they do.
Right.
A bunch of packs, Pact of Negation, Summoner's Pact, Ancient Stirring, and you're just trying to combo off as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And he went 6-1 with a list. So he was getting that combo.
And there's also a last list, I promise, a blue-red list by Michael R. I've been seeing this deck pop up. I even played this deck at one of the events we went to. It's the
cool.
Madcap Experiment.
Yeah,
it's Platinum Imperium combo.
This is basically the new Moon deck. What was the old deck called?
Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm. This is basically new Blue Moon. Yeah, just playing Cryptic Commands, but now they have a better combo in it because you've got the Madcap Experiment going into Platinum Imperium.
When I played the guy, this deck has two Platinum Imperiums. When I played this guy, he only had one. And when I Blessed Alliance him, he put that card in his graveyard and went, "Well, I think you've won this." So I'm not sure that it.
Well, that was his fault for attacking with that call. I mean, that was a bad play by him, I think.
I mean, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like just don't risk it.
If you just leave it there, though, you're not going to win the game.
Well, he's
so
got...
He's got
stuff.
He doesn't have enough to burn you out. That's the problem.
This is a cool card I've never seen before.
What's that?
It's called Sea Beyond.
Yeah.
It is one and a blue, and it's a sorcery. Draw two cards and shuffle a card from your hand into your library. So if you draw that Platinum Imperium, or you draw both of them, you got to get it out of your hand.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
He's got an Abrade main.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
I don't hate that either.
It's a different deck.
It's good. Anything cool on the sideboard? Kefnet's Last Word. Gain control of target artifact, creature, or enchantment. Lands you control don't untap during their next untap phase. So just jack anything you have. Jack your... what will they jack? What's so important to gain control of that... That's a weird card, I feel like, in the sideboard. Oh, he's got the four Young Pyromancer sideboard, too. So
yeah, I do like that.
This deck looks kind of fun.
It does look fun. I just think it's fragile.
I think it's very fragile. I think I would rather play this deck without the Madcap Experiment and just play the Young Pyromancer.
Right,
like, just be like blue-red Young Pyromancer all in.
Yeah, because, I mean, Platinum Imperium, if that thing gets path, what do?
You flip another one.
Yeah, you try and flip another one. Hope you don't die from the experiment damage.
And hope Blood Moon wins you the game.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much so.
All right, man. Well, I think we are going to call it on that note. If you enjoy the show and you want to support us, you don't have to pay anything. You just got to tweet at us. We're going to be giving away some more Magic packs. We got 5 packs of the last set. We've got 5 packs of, what is it? Hour of Devastation.
Hour of Devastation.
And we want to send them to one of you lucky listeners. All you have to do really is like, get active, interact with us,
tell us
what you want to hear, tell us what you want to see, tell us what you want us to talk about, and we want to talk about it with you. So thank you again for listening to Tilted Pod. I'm Seth, don't call me Jack. This is Nate, the Daywalker Morris, and we out.
Peace.